Well, God keeps bringing me back to this message, to this theme, and that is about prayer. And title of the message is Prayer Changes Things. Now, where have I seen that before? Above the ladies' bathroom, it says Prayer Changes Things. So I thought that'd be a good title for this, Prayer Changes Things. And if you don't believe that, then you won't pray. But people that believe, people that have faith do pray because they know God is able, right? And that God wants to actually answer prayer. Did you know that God wants to answer your prayer? He really wants to answer your prayer. Not for somebody else to pray, but for you to pray too. And know that your prayers are, as Annie had just mentioned, an incense, a sweet fragrance before the Father's throne. Hallelujah. So don't ever think that your prayers are in vain. Amen. The Lord cherishes the prayers of his saints, his people. Hallelujah. I wanted to share a quote from Watchman Nee. And the cross accomplishes all. The cross accomplishes all, but the Holy Spirit administers to man what it has accomplished. The cross grants us position. The Holy Spirit gives us experience. The cross accomplishes all, but the Holy Spirit administers to man what it has accomplished. The cross grants us position. That would be our position, right, in Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives us experience. True Christianity has experiences. Amen? You experience God. When you are born of His Spirit and you are moving in His Spirit, you will have experiences. There will be fruit in your life if you are following Jesus the way you're supposed to. How many know that true Christianity is not stale or boring? It's exciting. Hallelujah. Because God is a life-giving Spirit. Amen. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty. Hallelujah. And people are looking for freedom. They're looking for liberty. You know? And there are many who think, well, if I can just get high again, I'll have a temporary sense of being free or carefree. And yet, guess what? Eventually, you have to come down and face reality again. And you still got the same problems, if not worse now, that you're going to be facing when you come down off the high. And the Lord doesn't want you to turn to inferior things for satisfaction or to try to fill up that void in your life with anything that the world has to offer you. He wants to be the one to satisfy really the deepest longing of your heart. So to just know the Holy Spirit mentally or know about the Holy Spirit mentally is not enough. Can you say amen? Because our spirit needs to be engulfed with the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants our spirit to be engulfed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this will not happen, hear me, without a prayer life. This will not happen without a prayer life. If you're coming to church and expect somebody else to do for you, God is wanting you to come to the source yourself. Amen. There's a time when we pray for one another, but God wants you to know that because of what Jesus did at Calvary, because of his blood, he's given you access to the throne of grace 24/7. All that you have need of, the Father will richly give you if you will call upon him and you will believe by faith to receive from his hand. God wants to give the Holy Spirit to us. He's a good Father, and how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Amen. But you guys, listen, we just can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot have the power of God in our lives if we don't have a connection with God, a prayer life. Hello. And it's not just something that you just some event that you do, but it is a way of life for us. Amen. Communing with the Lord throughout your day. And so only through the strength of the Holy Spirit in our hearts are we able to overcome the flesh. This is where the struggle is. Our flesh does not want to pray. So you cannot allow your flesh or your sin nature or your old nature dictate, or your outer man, if you will, to dictate what you do. If you're getting a prompting from God to pray, then you need to deny that other part of you that doesn't want to, and you need to cooperate with the Spirit of God and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to prayer right now. How often have people come to us and say, hey, would you pray for me? And we say, yeah, okay, I'll pray for you. How about let's pray for him right now, lest you forget, right? Because sometimes we say, I'll pray for you, and a couple hours later, what would they want prayer for? I can't remember. Sometimes the Bible says to be instant in prayer.
Yes.
Instant in prayer. Yes. So this time, and somebody said, would you pray for me? Yeah, let's pray.
Right,
let's do right. Well, we're in the mall, right? Perfect place. Let's pray right now in the mall, right? How many know that God's not confined to a church building, right? So God wants us to be people of his presence, and people of his presence are people who are connected to him intimately through prayer. And prayer is something that often is misunderstood by people. Sometimes you think it's just about sitting around in a boring meeting asking God for things. Well, that can be part of it, amen? But it's not boring if you're connecting to him in the Spirit, because God is a life-giving Spirit, and God, amen, wants us to pray in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, by the ability that he supplies us, amen? And the people that I called up here today are people that pray, and you can tell because when they pray, there's life in that prayer. Amen? There's nothing dull or dry or boring about it. It's life-giving because they are people that pray. Amen? And God wants all of us to be people of prayer, people of his presence, because without his presence, we have no power. Amen? We have no authority to defeat the enemy of our soul. And God wants us to, first of all, tackle ourselves. God wants us to, first of all, get ourselves under control. Amen? And we cannot do that by willpower. My human willpower alone, amen? You have to commit your will to his will, amen? And that means I commit my will to his will, and that means God wants me to pray. And if I pray, I'll have power, amen, over myself. If you've been redeemed, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, if you're a child of God here today and the Spirit of the Lord is within you, then there's been a great victory in your life already. God has positionally set you up in Christ, amen, as a son and as a daughter, but he's also given you the authority to enforce what Jesus has already accomplished on your behalf. So if you are redeemed today, guess what? Satan has no authority over you. All right? Sin has no authority over you. You have authority in Jesus' name and by the word of God. And Colossians 1:13 tells us that he, Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has delivered us from the power of darkness. And conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This was God's doing. This was what happens with salvation. Amen. We are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We become heirs. We become joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. Heirs to the throne, children of God. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. And to them that believe on his name. Do you believe today? We believe, right? Not just beyond, just not in our intellect, but we believe in our hearts. Hallelujah. So some Christians, though, unfortunately, they live their lives as if prayer is not that important. It's not that important. I don't need to pray as much as other people do because I'm actually a strong Christian. You're already deceived. Am I right? You're already deceived if you think that way. If you think you're strong, watch out. Because when you think you're strong, you're actually weak. Because we understand that it's in my weakness that his strength is made perfect. It's in my inability that his ability comes through. It's me realizing that I need to depend upon the ability that God supplies me daily to get a hold of myself and tell myself what to do. I want to tell you, there's times when God is prompting me to go to prayer about something, and I just want to, there's this little struggle going on, and say, yeah, but I'm busy right now. I got something going on right now. How many know we cannot allow that part of us that wants to resist the Spirit of God to win? That's why people get stay bound up in addictions and other things, is because their flesh is too strong and they're being overcome. And that's why we need to be, if you will, gluttons for the presence of God. We need to drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua. Amen. Jesus is a life-giving spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Amen. I don't have to walk bound anymore because the power of sin has been broken in my life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the fact that I've been brought into covenant with Him, and God has put His Spirit into my heart, crying out, Abba, Father, I'm now a child of the Most High God. I don't have to live in fear of the devil, because the devil is under my feet, because Jesus Christ has won the victory. Amen. He has stripped him of his armor, of his panoply. He has made an open spectacle of him. Hallelujah. He has stripped him down and paraded him and say, he is a loser. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe the power of God is greater? Yes. Do you believe that greater is the one that's in you than he that's in the world? Amen. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to live by sight. He wants you to look around and say, oh, how bad it is. Look how bad it is. Because he wants to shrink your faith. He wants to make himself look bigger than he is. So you'll shrink your faith. Amen. And you'll back off. Because God wants us to enforce what he's already done. God wants us to plunder hell. Amen. Populate heaven. God wants us to win souls. God wants us to set captives free. And we do it in Jesus' name, under his authority, and by the power of this Holy Spirit, amen, we can set the captives free. Because a greater one has overcome the enemy of our soul. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore in my name. Hallelujah. So let's face it, our flesh does not want to pray. Now, I hope you're hearing today and you're not going to say, well, that was another good message. But I hope that you're hearing it with understanding today that prayer cannot be optional for us. It cannot be optional. And prayer is an absolute necessity for you and I to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because it's by the power of God that we have the victory. Amen. And our faith in the power of God. Our faith in what God has made available to us. Hallelujah, in Christ. The promises of God are always yes and amen. All of his promises are yes, but we have to come into cooperation with God in that promise. We have to be a willing vessel for God to work through. Amen. And God wants us to first get a hold of ourselves. Because you can't be in a position to minister to others if you don't have your own self under control. And how many have noticed that we've seen some of those things happen even in the public eye? Amen. Some high-profile preachers, amen, that didn't guard themselves, amen, after preaching to others, all of a sudden they become shipwrecked. Why? Because somehow they must have thought that in themselves now I had the ability to do all this. The enemy works on us. He works on our pride. He tries to get us puffed up. You know, if God does a miracle, does something through us, he just right away, the enemy wants to come in there and get you full of yourself and make it about you. Are you hearing me, somebody? In fact, he wants us to make our ministry about us and not about Jesus. Because he knows if he can get us to think that it's about us now, amen, then we'll actually fall from the grace of God and the enemy will take you out. Believe me, he is slick. He's been at it a long time. He studies us. He studies people, amen. He knows how to get those curveballs in on us. And once in a while, he gets one in on me too. And what do? I immediately call on God, say, Lord, help. Because I realize that in myself, I don't have a good thing. In myself, I can't bear fruit. It's God working in and through me, amen, that others need. I trust in the Lord and in his grace to overcome. So I got to overcome my flesh in order to have life and peace in the spirit. So what prayer does is it helps us to die to our flesh. Remember, Paul said, I die daily. Obviously, he wasn't dying physically daily. He was dying to himself daily. And the only way he could do that is by abiding in the Spirit, abiding in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every day, relying upon the grace of God and saying no to himself. You see, it becomes a lot easier to say no to our flesh when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we have a prayer life. Okay. How many know what I'm talking about? If you let that prayer life go, uh-oh. Now the addictions become a little bigger. The enemy appears to be bigger all of a sudden. The problems seem to be bigger than they really are. and we start to shrink. Matthew 26:41, we all are very familiar with this, but Jesus told his disciples who he found, remember, sleeping in the garden, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. In other words, prayer is my protection. Prayer is how I stay armored up. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm to be clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He has an armor that cannot be penetrated. But it's my responsibility to maintain my self-control. Amen. And I do that by the Spirit's power in my life. It's much easier to control yourself when you're full of God's power. Amen. So we need to be people of His presence. Not people that do an event just on Sunday, amen, and then they just leak out the rest of the week. But we need to be people that will abide and continue, amen, every day in a relationship with Jesus to pray and to be available for God to use any way He wants. Hallelujah. Because prayer is so important, Satan's going to try anything to stop you from exercising it. He's after that, guys. He's after your prayer life. He's trying to get you to disconnect. Because he knows that he can hinder the will of God in the earth if God doesn't have a praying people. And the reason why is because God gave us authority on the earth realm to enforce, amen, his kingdom mandates, his commands, his decrees. So we're to go and speak the name of Jesus, speak the word of God, amen, as representatives of the kingdom government of heaven. And so the enemy wants us to disconnect from the head so that we're not getting the instruction that we need, so that we're not going to be speaking what we need to be speaking and doing what we should be doing. All right. Because that's the only way he can hinder, amen, what God wants to accomplish, because God has called you and I to partner with him to accomplish his mission in the earth. It's not about just a few people doing it. He wants laborers. And that's why Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Turn to your neighbor and say, that would be me. So prayerless Christians are powerless Christians. You can tell, you get around a person that prays. If you're having an open prayer, you can tell they've been praying. Because it's quickened. There's life in it. They're connected to the will, the heart of God when they pray. And that is a prayer that God, amen, honors and answers. Why? Because we need to know the will of God in order to pray the will of God. And you can't know the will of God unless you're praying for the will of God. You got to be connected. You got to stay connected. That's where your life is. Hallelujah. You know, there's no stopping what God will do even in this little town. Amen. If we as will continue to bombard heaven and pray, amen, and stand in the gap on behalf of the people of this city, even the Northwest, praying for a move, a mighty awakening to come, amen, that people's hearts and eyes will be opened, hallelujah, that all of a sudden they say, man, I once was lost, but now I'm fine, was blind, but now I see. By the grace of God, I couldn't see a thing. I was blind as a bat. But God sovereignly moved in my life and he removed the veil. And hallelujah, boy, everything is so much better now. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. But Satan's not threatened by a powerless church. In Ephesians 6:10, we all know this so well, but we have to take these to heart. Take these words to heart. Amen. Finally, my brethren, he says, be strong. Jesus' final words to the church of Ephesus, he's saying you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it means be empowered in the vigor or dominion of his ability. Be empowered in the vigor or dominion of his ability. Hallelujah. See, we can try to be a good Christian by our own willpower. I'm just going to try harder today to be good. Right? I'm going to try harder today to stay clean. It's you and God together. It's partnering with God and relying upon the power he supplies you to stay clean. Amen? So you can enforce the victory because, amen, God gives you the victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Christ, we have the victory because he's overcome the world and the overcomer is actually in us and will supply everything we have need of to walk in freedom. And to maintain that walk in freedom. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God. There it is. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the schemings of the devil. The Amplified says, in conclusion, Verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Be empowered through your what? Union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which he, his boundless might provides. That strength which his boundless might provides. So through union with him, we have the ability to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And guys, we are in a battle. No mystery here, right? We are engaged in warfare. Hallelujah. And it's for your very soul and for the souls of men. Amen. God wants his people to be spot on. He wants his people to be awake, to be alert, and to be abiding, to be focused on what he is doing. And what, as our commander is giving us instructions, we need to be spot on with him. Amen. Because if God tells you to do something, he's going to confirm it. He's going to back it up. Amen. If God tells you to stop doing something, he's going to grant you the supply of grace to stop doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I tried. No. Why don't you just do it? Go beyond trying to just doing it in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do it. Hallelujah. You maintain it. Amen. You enforce what God has already done in your life. You see, some people, they come to the altar, they get set free. They're doing great. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you know, they kind of walk away and they lose that connection with God. They get distracted. And they let themselves go spiritually, and they're no longer staying strong in the Lord. And all of a sudden, those temptations start to come back because the enemy studies us. And he knows when you're weak, and he's going to come back, and he's going to try to present it back to you again. And if you take the bait, well, he can hook you even worse than you were before. So God wants his people to stay free, to enforce what he's already done on our behalf. Jesus did it. But you can't remain passive in a fight and expect to overcome. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a fight where two parties were passive. Somebody's going to lose bad. Right? Guys, we are engaged, whether we like it or not, in warfare. And we cannot be passive in this. We have to be vigilant. We have to be alert. We have to be mindful, amen, that we do have an adversary. He's been working a long time in deception, amen? And that's how he works in our lives, because he knows that he can't make us do anything. But if he can get us to listen to him and cooperate with him, then he can, you know, take advantage over us. And so we have to be people of prayer, people of the presence of God, people who walk closely with the Lord. And when you feel that pressure coming on, what do? You call on the name of the Lord and ask him, Lord, give me that strength I need to overcome this thing. Excuse me. So 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we walk in the flesh, right, in this natural body, in our outer man, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. There it is, in God, mighty, right? Pulling down strongholds. Again, what are strongholds? These are those places of security that the enemy hides in. You know, again, whenever somebody is sympathetic towards sin or an addiction, they're making excuses for it. Well, I tried. That's an excuse. You need to say, no, I'm done. No, I repent. I will not allow this thing any longer to have control of me, because my faith is in God and his ability to not only set me free, but to keep me free. And I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. And so it says, again, our weapons are what? They're not of human origin. They're from God. They're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So what are your weapons? What are your primary weapons? Come on. The word of God, prayer, and how about another one? Praise and worship. Yes. So prayer and praise and the word of God are our weapons. Hallelujah. Our primary weapons, right? And so the devil knows that the power of God to defeat him is released through prayer and through praise and by the word of God. So he knows that, so he seeks to shut down your prayer life in order to interfere with God's will on the earth. And again, as we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we need to remember that we're in a war against an already defeated foe. He's not as big and as bad as he wants people to believe. So we have to guard our thinking, guard our minds, amen, and not give him that place. Do not exalt evil in your minds. So don't dwell on evil, amen, and give him a license, all right, to deceive you in your mind to think that somehow he's too big and too bad, all right? God is Lord of all, amen? Jesus Christ has all authority, hallelujah, amen? He's already been defeated. He's been stripped of his armor, amen? He's a naked opponent, and he has no defensive weaponry. Are you hearing me? And yet God has then given us the word of God, his word as the sword of our spirit, to use against this adversary that's already been defeated, to basically keep him in his place and enforce the victory that God has already won for us through the cross. Is this making sense? Amen. So you and I need to understand something. If we don't get this, if you don't get this today, you're going to continue in that gerbil wheel, that same cycle of whatever you've been struggling with. You can't seem to get a hang on, you can't get a hold of it, you can't seem to overcome it. If you don't get this message today and you understand that God has given you authority over your flesh. But that authority comes also with the power that we receive when we pray and we stay connected to him, all right, who gives us the victory over our flesh. By the Spirit of the Lord, we overcome that outer man who wants to lead us into temptation. That's why we need to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So whenever there's a lack of hope, you know, people quit praying and believing. Yeah. Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. He's saying there is a battle going on for who's going to be in charge of you, who you're going to submit to, who you're going to allow to be Lord of your life. Are you going to be Lord of your life, or are you going to let Jesus be Lord of your life? Because if you want to be Lord of your life, the enemy's waiting for you. That's a perfect setup for disaster. When you don't want allow Jesus to be Lord of your decisions, or do you acknowledge him? Are you willing to listen and do it God's way? The Amplified says, Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, that you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. The flesh being human nature without God. So live and walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, and then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. So again, faith, someone said, faith sees the impossible or the invisible, believes the impossible, all right? Believes the unbelievable and receives the impossible. So faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. But again, the enemy's after your faith. He's after your hope. He wants to get you into a place of defeatism in your mind, to somehow believe that you can't when God says you can. It's not a matter of can you, it's will you.
Amen.
Will you cooperate with God in this and enforce what God has already accomplished for you? There's no excuse, you see. For a child of God, a believer, amen, in Jesus, to live bound. Because the Lord came to break all those chains, to set us free from those chains. But just like Nancy came up, she had a need today. And she was willing, right? Both Nancy's actually. To respond to a call, even though she was a little bit in her flesh. She was a little fearful about responding or walking to the front of her church. Today, she took control over that part of her. Amen. And said, I'm going to respond to the Spirit of the Lord. And God's honoring that, Nancy, in your life. You too. Amen. Because she's going to believe. Amen. She's going to tell her flesh what to do. That's in agreement with the will of God. You cannot allow your outer man, the flesh that resists the will of God. When God is saying pray, then we need to pray. Amen. When God says do, then we need to do. When he says stop, we need to stop. We need to be led of the Spirit. How many believe that God wants to answer your prayer? You know, sometimes, guys, people will actually stop and they have to think about that. Really? You mean God wants to answer my prayer? Why? Because often we look at ourselves and say, oh, I'm such a mess, or I'm unworthy, or this or that, and the other things that come in. And yet Jesus has qualified you. Jesus has made it possible for you to come with confidence before the throne of grace. Amen. Don't listen to that liar. Amen. If you sin, you confess your sin and you get on with your life. Amen. And you come immediately to the throne of grace. Say, Father, I need help. I need strength. I need your power in my life. Hallelujah. I'm having this struggle in my life, Lord. Amen. And pray until something happens. Pray until there is a breakthrough. Pray until your miracle comes. Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking, because the door will be opened in God's appointed season. Don't become weary in well-doing. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit, because what you have invested will one day return to you. Hallelujah. Are you praying for your loved ones? You're praying for your families. You want to see your loved ones saved. Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on believing, because God answers those prayers. And God can move mountains. Hallelujah. He can make anything happen. Hallelujah. How many are praying for our politicians? Amen. Be praying for your politicians. Don't give up. Amen. God can get a hold of them. Hallelujah. If they have to go out and eat grass, like I said before, amen, then they'll go and eat grass for a while and have a little attitude adjustment. But God can make things change. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. Amen. God responds to the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Why? Because it's based on the promise of God. When God gives us a promise, we believe that God will do what He said He will do. I'm praying now in faith according to the will of God. And if I pray according to the will of God, I know He hears me. And I know that He'll answer that prayer. Come on. Hebrews 11:6. Let's just say this together. Let's read this together. Hebrews 11:6. Did I get in there? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder those who diligently seek Him. Do you believe that? How many know that if you believe in that, then you will pray? How do you seek the Lord? Amen. Through prayer and praise. All right. We come before His presence with singing, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Hallelujah. And then we can make our petitions known, because our Father knows that we have need of all these things. Amen. Prioritize His will, His kingdom before everything else. God will take care of the things that we often worry about. James 5:14, here's a promise. Is if anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So the elders can pray with complete assurance, because God has promised to heal according to His word. So how do I pray to God? How do I pray to God? Well, you pray. Are you ready for this? It's going to be a real revelation. We pray in the name of Jesus. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Okay. John 16:23. And in that day, Jesus said to His disciples, you'll ask me nothing, but assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Somebody say, the Father in Jesus' name. He will give you. What was He going to give them? That Cadillac? No. He's going to give them what they need in accordance with the will of God, all right? It wouldn't be a bad idea, but you know. Until now, He says, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In other words, when you are asking and walking in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord, and God is doing His stuff in and through your life, there is joy. Amen in that. And knowing that God is actually allowing me to be His servant and allowing me to be used of Him, amen, to help other people. How good is that? Do you understand? It's not something I got to do. I want to do this, and I get to do this because the Spirit of the Lord and the love of God in me, amen, is compelling me to do this. Hallelujah. When I was a young Christian, I was just full of zeal and on fire for God and just loving Jesus. And you know, I had an older minister come to me and says, you know, I really sense that God wants you to study to get credentialed, because I sense the call of God in your life. And I was like, ah, man, I don't need all that stuff, you know. And I didn't really accept that by doing that, it can open doors and opportunity for you in this world. Are you hearing me? To get into places like volunteer chaplain and other things. But also, you know, most churches won't recognize unless you've been through some kind of process, all right, of education, and they understand your character and that you have a good working knowledge of the Word of God. And so I didn't care. I just wanted to serve the Lord, all right, because that was the motivation of my heart. And that's what God was doing in me. He was telling me, I want you to love. I want you to serve. I want you to tell others about me. Amen. I want you to teach them what I've taught you. Amen. And I was happy just to do that. I was working full time and just serving. I started serving with the youth, you know, doing youth ministry and cutting my teeth on those poor kids. And you can ask Chuck about that. We were partners in crime back in the day. But from there, you know, God just began to speak to me about doing some practical things that would also help open opportunity for me in the future. And so I'm not speaking today about getting credentials. I'm talking about the fact that God is working in us and He's giving us a desire to do something. Amen. And the more that you pray and the closer you draw near to God, amen, and the more empowered by the Spirit you are, the clearer that becomes, the more of a motivation there is in your heart to do, actually get out and do it. Because it's like fire in your bones. Am I right? You're just like, I can't help but talk about Jesus. But if the enemy can get you to disconnect and get you tied down and bogged down with things of this world and this life, amen, he's attempting to choke the life out of you. Are you hearing me, somebody? And we have to defeat that. We have to overcome that. We cannot succumb to that. We cannot allow that enemy, amen, to distract us. If there are things that we need to get rid of in our lives, then get rid of them. It may be a good thing, but if it's not a God thing, get rid of it. Get rid of anything that's going to hinder you in accomplishing your mission for Christ while you have the opportunity. How many know that we only have a few days left? Because what is our life? James said it's like a vapor. Amen. It appears and it's gone. So we should be about our Father's business, understanding that here we have no continuing city. Amen. We're looking for one to come. We're on a sinking ship. Amen. So you got to get off the sinking ship and get on the good ship, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The ark of His promise. So Jesus said, ask the Father in my name. So that's how we pray. So you want to see changes in your family? Yes. You want to see family change? You want to see change in your own life? Yes. Your government, your school, your church. How about the nation? Yeah. Yeah. So then what must we do as God's people? We must pray. We must pray. Guys, the time of letting somebody else do the praying is over. If you want to see the nation changed, if you want to see your life change, you want to see your family changed, you want to see your school change, whatever you're facing with, amen, in this life, if you want to see change happen, it's going to require a people that say, I'm going to commit myself daily to pray and to seek the Lord's face and to seek out His will for my life and begin to do what He's called me to do. Hallelujah. Because here I understand, we don't know how much time we have left. The Lord is coming. Amen. And the Lord is coming for people that are prepared. He's coming for a bride. Hallelujah. So how do I know what the will of God is? How can I know what God's will is? Well, the only way to know is by prayer. And through prayer, the Holy Spirit reveals God's will to us. Can you say amen? Amen. So prayer needs to be purpose-driven. We got to be motivated by a knowledge of God's will. When you know what God wants, amen, then you can be emboldened to pursue that vision that He gives you. All right? Sometimes we're like, seems like we're just wandering around and grasping in the darkness, trying to find answers, amen? Well, pray through the darkness. Pray through the fog. Amen? Get into the glory, get into the presence of God where everything becomes laser sharp and clear. There's clarity. And all of a sudden you begin to see clearly what God has called you to do. And as you are obedient, taking steps of obedience to do what God has called you to do, you will find that God will reveal more to you because you're being a faithful steward. Come on, somebody. So I'm almost through. So, question to you all today. Remember, James said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Can you say amen that what you're hearing today is really what God is speaking?
Yes.
Okay. Will you commit to pray daily?
Yes.
Okay. I know many of you are, but God needs His church right now, not just us here, but the church in America to wake up and get back to Him. Amen. To repent of our ways and to get back to the altar and begin to call out and cry out, amen, for the Lord to intervene in His mercy and that He will send His grace upon America. God can turn it around. God can save America. God can redeem it. Amen. If we, His people, the ones called by His name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He will what?
Hear from heaven.
2 Chronicles 7:14, and forgive our sin and heal our land. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read to you this passage from Ezekiel. This was the condition of the people in Ezekiel's day. And God is looking for intercessors in America. God's looking for laborers in America. He's looking for those who are willing vessels for Him. Hallelujah, because He will fill you with His Holy Spirit and power, and He'll use you mightily if you're willing. Amen? To take the step and say, Lord, I'll take the step. And I know He'll meet me in the area of obedience. He's faithful to do that. No one could be found in Ezekiel's day to intercede for the people or to stand for God. He said in Ezekiel 22:27, your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. Does that sound familiar? They actually destroy people's lives for money. And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say my message is from the sovereign Lord when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. Even common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and deprive foreigners of justice. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap, in the wall, so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. Now, I want you to feel God's heart in this. He said, I found no one. You think God delighted in that? He was grieved by that. He couldn't find anybody that would say, Lord, here am I. I'll stand in the gap. I'll intercede. I'll deny myself that I might be a vessel that you work in and through, that we might see the changes that we need to see happen in this nation. We have an opportunity. We have a window of opportunity right now. But it's time to wake up. It's time to get back to prayer. Get back to the altar. Cry out to God for mercy, all right, for America. I'm praying that God will drain the swamp, amen. No man's going to do it. I'm praying that God will expose the wickedness, amen, and expose all the corruption, and that God will bring justice back to America. Hallelujah. I'm praying that the fear of God will come upon every politician. The fear of God will come upon every judge in this land. The fear of God will come upon His people again in Jesus' name, that the people of God will wake up and return to their God, hallelujah, and cry out. And when we begin to cry out together and we raise our voice together, God will hear from heaven, hallelujah. I'm believing. Are you? Keep on pressing on, guys. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Don't give up. Don't become weary. Don't believe all the reports you hear, okay? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Thank God we have an intercessor in heaven. Jesus, our Lord, amen, our great high priest. Whoever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. So here it is, guys. Can God depend on you? Can God depend on you? Can He depend on me to make a difference? To stand in the gap. To be, amen, preachers of righteousness. To people that not only speak the truth in love, but we live the truth in love before the watching world. Amen? God's looking for laborers. He's looking for someone that'll say, "Here am I, Lord." And I'll tell you guys, if you're willing to do this, you're really committing yourself to prayer, hallelujah, not only will God use you, but God will also make sure that you are kept free and that you are kept refreshed as well. Hallelujah. You know, he who waters others himself will be watered. So God wants us to take what we receive and just to share it, amen, with those that we know, those around us, those who he would put in our path. Hallelujah. So let's pray and call upon him right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you have overcome, that you are sovereign Lord over all the earth, that every knee will bow to you, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, you have all authority. Hallelujah. And in your name today, Lord, we declare that we are your people and that we have been set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And by the word of our testimony, we will overcome the enemy of our soul. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth will prevail against the lie. Hallelujah. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that for there will be a blanket, hallelujah, of your glory to fall upon this place, Lord. A blanket of your glory to fall upon this nation. God, we're asking in Jesus' name that you will wake up, Lord, your church, that you'll revive your church, that you'll bring your church back to truth, back to love. Hallelujah. Back to you, God. Father, we pray that you would wake up every slumbering saint in America, Lord. Wake us up inside. Lord, arrest every wayward son and daughter, Lord, that is wandering, Lord, aimlessly. Lord, we pray that, Holy Spirit, you will arrest them, Lord God, and that you will bring them, Lord, to repentance and faith. God, we ask you to give us another chance. We ask you to give us another chance in this nation, Lord. Hallelujah, that you will intervene, hallelujah, in our government. Intervene, Lord God, in our people, and most importantly, God, intervene in your church, God. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we'll get beyond playing church and being the church. Hallelujah. Be an expression of your heart in this world. Hallelujah. That we will go in the authority you've given us and that we will demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit and that we will be about doing good. Hallelujah. And healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That we will be about destroying the works of the devil. Hallelujah. As you have already stripped him, Lord, grant us the boldness, Lord, the power, hallelujah, to rise above the accusations of the enemy, hallelujah, and the bullying, Lord, that's going on, the verbal bullying in this nation, not to bow down to that spirit of Antichrist, but to be strong in the Lord, hallelujah, to be bold for our God. We pray that you would shake us, Lord, and awake us, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will speak the word of God with boldness, that we'll pray in new tongues, hallelujah, that we'll cast out demons in your name, that we will declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand, hallelujah. May the Lord be glorified in everything. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, Lord, and to God belongs the glory. Hallelujah. 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 God, forgive our sin and heal our land. Turn our nation back to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.